Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Always good talks this morning. We're talking to college football, and this is a chance to get together a couple of friends, and we just kind of talk about rivalries and the state of college athletics. Corey Roberts, in his day job, the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance. Scott Miowski, the Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford County here. We're all sports fans, and good morning. Good to have you guys here.
Thanks, Ted. Good to be here.
Good morning. This is the second time we've done this show, Ted, and the first one I ambushed Curry, and he showed up with a folder this morning, so I'm anxious to see what's coming my way.
I didn't notice. He does have a folder.
And a pen so he can take notes.
And I don't know. I kind of feel sorry for Scott.
Scott's a West Virginia fan.
Yeah, and he's got Rerun Rich back.
And Rerun Rich.
That's got to be painful.
Yes. It took 30 seconds for you to bring that up. I'm impressed with your restraint that it took that long.
I grew up in a rural part of the state. You had to be polite. None of your neighbors would play with you. So,
yeah, Rich Rodriguez is back. We're doing it again. We're 1-0 though. As is UVA.
As is UVA.
What is Tech's record?
0-1. But were either of your opponents ranked on anything?
I knew that was coming.
Or were they just ranked?
I think in the Western Pennsylvania High School League, Robert Morris is top 10.
Well, that could be pretty tough. Western Pennsylvania is tough high school.
Yeah, it is.
Coastal Carolina at one time had a good football team.
They had a bunch of transfers, though. They lost a bunch of kids after last season.
Where did their coach go?
Yeah.
Didn't they lose their coach?
Yeah. Liberty.
Oh, he went to Liberty.
That's right.
That's right.
I think he went to Liberty.
They went to a bowl game last year, right?
Yeah. But Virginia Tech and didn't look bad, and I think there's something there to work with.
Yeah, I mean, we were down 2 points going into the fourth quarter.
Right, it was really two big plays.
Team in the country at their it might as well have been at their place. It was in Atlanta, and they probably had 2/3 of the crowd. Then you also have to look at we've got a new defensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach. We appreciate West Virginia being a feeder school for our offensive line, since three of our starters, two transferred from West Virginia, and one was their top recruit. Yep. It was kind of what you would expect in a first game with so many coaching changes. It's easier to gel a defense. You've got an offense where we lost 80% of our scores from last year. We got a quarterback that hadn't really played healthy since midseason of last year. It's virtually a completely new offensive line. The thing I was most impressed with, and it sort of harkens back when Bud Foster was our defensive coordinator, is Sam Sefkus, who's now the defensive coordinator. It looked like it was going to be a long day. South Carolina opened up, got the ball, marched right down the field, and scored. And really didn't do much after that until the fourth quarter, and it took a special teams effort to do it. The other thing, he ended up playing 24 players, 10 on the offensive line or defensive line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, your offensive line's solid since you have our old coach and all of our linemen. So that makes sense.
The fact he's not better really does not come through.
I'm not sure they've totally gelled yet in the new offensive system. And the other thing is that I really felt sorry for Caron. He looked like a first year quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's rusty, and it shows. Is he going to get better? Yes. And I think the beginning of the season, I thought this game we really were going to get beat even worse than we did. The game that I'm most interested in is this weekend with Vanderbilt.
That will be interesting, Saturday night.
And we have a better defense than we played Vanderbilt last year, and we still took them to overtime. And they've got a whale of a quarterback, but again, what I found interesting about the defense, this game in South Carolina, the death of us have been really mobile quarterbacks. they have always been a problem for us going back, you know. Bud Foster had trouble mm-hmm. with really mobile quarterbacks. And so we played against a really good mobile quarterback on Saturday who really didn't do much. I thought the defense did a great job keeping him bottled up, and I'm somewhat optimistic that they can do the same with the quarterback down at Vanderbilt.
With all the things in college athletics that have changed and none of us like, it was good on Saturday to sit back and watch college football. And in my case, I was in Charlottesville. And just when the band came out and the smattering of people that are usually in Scott Stadium on a Saturday afternoon, although the crowd was 45,000, and there was great rejoicing over that number.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be slightly
so
more than...
How many were paid?
Well, that's another thing.
Well, you mean how many paid to go or how many were paid to go?
Paid to go.
or deeply discounted seats. I'm afraid. that's another thing. But no, it was good to be it was good to see college football back.
Yeah, it you're right. In spite of all the complaints and doom and gloom that people like me talk about, as soon as you hear the band and the team runs out on the field, mm-hmm. still has that old college feeling.
Yeah.
May not know any of the players because 90% of every roster is brand new.
I think Virginia has 50 new players.
Yeah, yeah. We're at about 55 new players.
Yeah.
But yeah, it still feels like college football.
It does.
And it's the fall, and it's a good feeling. In September, everybody's still got a shot.
Well, that was really true this weekend. I mean, you look at Florida State beating Alabama, TCU thumping Carolina.
Yeah.
Highly entertaining.
I think everyone liked watching that game on Monday night.
Ohio State beating Texas.
Yeah.
You still had some upsets out there that no one would have predicted. And so there's still, no matter what you do on scrambling players, there's still that level of uncertainty. Miami beating Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people think that's an upset. So, you know, you've still got that sort of level of uncertainty. The question's going to become, it's not now, it's not this season, it's not next season, but over the next 5 years, where the disparity of funding is going to become an even bigger gap, and you're probably going to have 20 teams dominating the sport, what are we going to watch? Who are they going to play? Each other all the time? At some point, that is what will happen, and then viewership will go down. There'll be less revenue, so then what do we do? So I still don't think the model is sustainable from a financial standpoint.
No.
Except for maybe 20 teams. And that's just going to become pretty boring.
Yeah, when you have the big money that's for the Michigan quarterback that they flipped from LSU and they're paying $8 million for.
What's Arch Manning getting at Texas?
Yeah, I never had. I don't know that I've heard, but it's got to be phenomenal.
I don't. It's
a big number.
It's a huge number. It's an NFL number.
Yeah, because he stayed in school so long too.
But yeah, you talk about it not being sustainable long term. Iowa State, they're projecting a $140 million budget deficit by 2031 in their athletic department.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of schools who. Nobody saw this coming, but they invested in upgrading their stadium and their basketball arena, and then all of a sudden they get hit with this, you know, having to pay players, and they just don't have the financial revenue to do it.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably the tip of the spear, and there's going to be a whole lot more of these, I don't want to call them non-blue blood schools. Probably West Virginia Tech are in danger as well, that are going to see this kind of thing coming down the road. They just don't have the revenue to build the facilities that you need and pay the players and do all of those things at one time. So it's fun now, but we'll see what the future holds, as Curry said.
Well, you know, our athletic director did a report to the Board of Visitors and said that over the next 5 years, our budget needs to increase by $50 million to remain competitive. And that's, you know, and we're in the black. I mean, we've had a very well managed athletic budget,
but in order to keep up,
it's going to have to go up pretty dramatically. Yeah. And there are not but so many places you can get that.
No, and
Is that $50 million a year? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, and just in a smaller level, Virginia's got this kick return and wide receiver who's lightning fast and had a great game on Saturday. But he jumped in the portal from JMU and went over to UVA, and I thought there's an example there of somebody who was recruited by JMU and would be a star there, but Virginia was able to pay him.
Yeah, stories like that are
sad
hard
to see.
Yeah, we had a receiver at West Virginia, Hudson Clement. He was a walk-on from Martinsburg, like West Virginia boy mm-hmm. through and mm-hmm. through. Worked his way and became an absolute star his sophomore year. For some reason, transferred to Illinois, of all places. First game at Illinois, catches one pass for 5 yards in garbage time. Now, had he stayed at West Virginia and finished his career, he would have been, you know, a legend in the state. And who knows what that transfers to business-wise, because the kid's not going to the NFL. But to see him jump to a school like Illinois for a couple $1,000 is really hard to stomach.
Yeah.
Because those kind of stories are what made college football fun to watch.
Yeah.
And he didn't jump to a top-tier Big Ten program when he jumped.
No.
I mean, it wasn't like that was going to advance him in any big way.
Right. No. But I mean, that's the separation that's already happening that's going to get worse. Any Big Ten or SEC school now is already seen as superior to anybody else, which is crazy.
Got to take a quick break. We're going to continue on. College football. Curry Roberts, Scott Mayowski, and this morning more on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking college football, college athletics this morning. Curry Roberts here, Scott Mayowski here. As we talk about this, but Curry, as you guys have talked about that, about just the sustainability, that really is whether it's the product on the field, whether it's the cost. There really are storm clouds ahead. As we look at all of this.
Well, and that's. You know, Scott and I have talked about this before, and again, it goes back to this whole theory. You're going to have 20 schools at some point are going to be dominating the sport, because I don't think the revenue pie through television is growing all that dramatically. You know, that's not going to continue. There are just too many channels, right? So at some point, that pie is going to stop growing. So now we're going to be cutting up a smaller and smaller, but the same size pie, but it's going to, because of the way the revenue shares are starting to shake out in conferences, it's going to, you know, it's going to get sucked up by 20 schools.
Yeah, and I listened to an interview with our athletic director, and it was probably the same. It was the same vein as your athletic director, and what you're going to see now are increased ticket prices, increased concession cost, seat licenses, all the things that made the NFL unaffordable for the average family is now going to come down to the college level. And if you think about where a lot of these colleges are, not outside of the Big Ten and the SEC, because they're on a playing field all their own. They're in small towns. They're not in big metropolises in most cases, where you've got, you know, a lot of corporate and a lot of, you know, high incomes. Like Morgantown, West Virginia, those people don't have a lot of money in that state. They're going to be priced out of going to see those games. And that's a shame. And that's not what made college football great and fun to watch and grew the sport. So that's, I think that's coming down the road fast, and it's a bad trend because it won't be reversed.
No, and like you say, you just think of the restaurants in Morgantown or Blacksburg or any of these smaller towns.
Yeah, the day of $25 tickets are long gone.
Yeah.
Well, and that came up when Whit Babcock was speaking to our Board of Visitors, and he put out a chart. The other place they're going to get it is student fees. Among the major schools in Virginia, Tech's got the lowest student fees, much lower than UVA's, much lower than VCU's got one of the highest, as does James Madison. Well, they can't go up much more. Tech may have a little bit of room to go up, but that's not going to get you there. It just doesn't. The other, what what a lot of tech fans are saying is because of the new revenue share based on television hits within the ACC, is before you leave for the game, go turn on every TV and every device you've got, then go watch the game in person.
Yeah.
Because it's all about how many devices are turning in, tuning into the game. So, okay, we've got over 200,000 alumni. Everybody go out and, you know, turn on every device you've got and game the system. Yeah. Why not?
No, and you wonder when the SEC and the Big Ten go after some more schools, and especially the ACC is locked in for a few more years, but you'd think that whenever the number gets low enough for some of those schools to leave, that the Florida States and the Clemsons will leave, and then you hear about North Carolina maybe being interest, you know, being of interest.
How much of interest they are.
Maybe that may get going down a bit.
After Monday, but
That UNC football is an interesting thing. I've never seen a program with as little success as they have, as cocky as they are.
Oh, yeah, their return on investment is lousy.
I mean, they were referring to themselves as the 33rd NFL team before kickoff.
Yeah.
And it
they played like the 33rd NFL team. If that's how they're ranking, they probably are.
right. Yeah. Did you all see Skip Bayless's tweets after the first UNC drive?
No.
Yeah. So Skip Bayless, after the first drive, texted, "Wow, Belichick has a national championship offense in all capital letters. Heels just shredded Frogs defense." And then he turned around and fired off another one. TCU's about to get blown out. Too much MJLT, about to get mossed. This is why I quit watching ESPN.
Yeah.
People know nothing.
Right.
Well, another way to look at that is if you go, each of the Big Four conferences had wins against other Big Four teams this weekend.
Yeah.
Some pretty major ones, actually. So it's not as out of whack yet as it's potentially going to get. You know, I don't know that I want Virginia Tech in the Big Ten or the SEC.
Right.
I just, you know, that's not something that flips my switch.
Maryland's there and they're irrelevant.
Correct. They are irrelevant and they're going to remain irrelevant. And at some point, they're really not bringing anything to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Because I think both Tech and UVA have higher viewership in Northern Virginia and the D.C. suburbs than Maryland does.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But, okay, Carolina leaves, Florida State leaves, Clemson leaves. I'd rather see the public schools left in the ACC go do some realignment with the public schools in the Big 12.
Yes, just going to say that.
That is a preferable path, in my mind, than you know, getting into a, you know, a shark's pool with the Big Ten and the SEC. I'd much rather see that and have it be competitive than constantly be in the bottom half of the two monster conferences.
Or I would much rather have a West Virginia coming to Charlottesville than Stanford and Cal coming this year.
Or Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Nobody wants Virginia Tech to come.
You used to until you started throwing batteries at us. I mean,
we're trying to get you to leave as fast as possible.
Well, it worked. We left.
Have you noticed, though, both Major League Baseball and the NFL are talking about realignment? And they're talking about grouping teams regionally. So has college football abandoned its roots? You've now got the two major professional sports talking about adopting the old college football model.
That's a great
because
point.
It works.
Yeah,
it works.
Think about the conference model and what rivalries would look like if the Commanders, the Eagles, and the Giants didn't play each other every year, where you can get the games on a train.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Baltimore, for that matter. So if they all quit playing each other and all they're doing is playing West Coast teams, I'd guarantee attendance would go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can remember it was a few years ago when Virginia Tech and West Virginia played up at FedEx Field, and how that's Scott started texting me and just the anger he had toward Virginia Tech and stolen games and all these different things. But it was the rivalry.
Did we ever Did Tech ever get FOIA to find out how much you paid that referee to make that call in the fourth quarter? Is that public information?
Having been to games in West Virginia, I don't think I'd be throwing rocks at refereeing in a neutral site. Okay, I did. Batteries. He's throwing batteries. I'm sorry. He's throwing batteries. Good point. You know, ironically, that was the only sellout that year in FedEx Field.
Yeah, totally.
It sure wasn't in the Commanders games.
Well, to this day, the largest field in Heinz Field, where the Pittsburgh Steelers play, is a West Virginia Pitt game.
Yeah, and to take away those rivalries, because I look at the schedule, on UVA schedule this year, they're playing Washington State. It's just to see Stanford and Cal and Washington State.
Yeah, we've got Cal this year coming to town.
And, you know,
I'm kind of like, okay.
Right, that's exactly it. And that's why.
So what?
Yeah, that's like you say.
You know, that weekend, would I rather see West Virginia come to town?
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it would be better for the local economy. You're going to have more people.
Yeah, battery sales at Walmart would go up, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait till you get to Blacksburg because they're all sold out in West Virginia.
We need to take a break. We're going to come back. Curry's got – we've got to make sure that we cover all the things that Curry has in his folder here because there may be some things –
I'm not sure Scott wants me to do that.
I think we want to. I think I want just for that. Quick break. We'll continue on. Scott Majewski, Curry Roberts here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We talk college athletics this morning. Curry Roberts with the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance, Scott Majewski, Commissioner of Revenue. But we don't talk about any of those things when we do these shows. We talk college athletics. Curry is. This is like being at a congressional hearing.
Right, it's like he's testifying for a congressional committee.
Thank God, though, none of us are under oath.
I was going to say we didn't put you under oath, Curry.
No, actually, I brought the Tech schedule because I couldn't remember it at my advanced age.
Okay, now this is starting to make sense.
Yes. Okay, right, you'd get that. But no, there was
this like having Lee Corso with us.
No, there was this interesting...
At the end,
Scott did not have to wheel me in here.
Well,
okay?
I found him wandering in the parking lot, though, Tech, so...
Now, what Yahoo Sports had this neat sort of summary of the weekend by conference. That I found interesting on the conference records. And so as the ACC went 12-4 over the weekend and had three notable wins over ranked teams. So you had Georgia Tech over Colorado, at Colorado. And then you had Florida State beating Alabama and Miami beating Notre Dame. So pretty good weekend.
I find Deion Sanders just fascinating to watch. I don't necessarily like Colorado, or I mean, he gets on my. But I do find him. He's so out of the mold of coaches.
Yeah, you can't not watch him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's had no success.
No,
at all.
Well, not at Colorado. He did do a pretty good job at Jacksonville.
So he did, and that got him that job.
You got to give him credit for that. But that may tell you where he has the greatest influence as a coach. At what tier would he have the greatest?
Yeah.
He could over-recruit, but not necessarily coach.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. The other thing is interesting, going back to me, I had forgotten this, but there was an article about a year ago in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He played a season in the Richmond Braves, or the Atlanta Braves system.
Yeah,
played baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he played in Richmond for a year.
I forgot that.
And they went back and interviewed people about it, and they said he is completely different one-on-one.
That's what everybody says. Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's soft-spoken, you know, very approachable, very polite. It was an interesting sort of juxtaposition to what you would think he would really be like.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a pro wrestler,
mm-hmm.
where you've got a public persona, and it really doesn't match who you are privately.
Yeah, I saw an interview with him, and he talked about the difference between primetime and Deion. And okay. Deion's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
But primetime's the one that everybody wants to watch.
Right.
So he's got
right.
to play that part.
Right. Turning to the Big 12, they went 12-3 this weekend. Their big win was Utah over UCLA.
Okay.
So Utah beat what's now a Big Ten team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. SEC went 14-2. Their notable wins. Number one notable win, South Carolina over Virginia Tech.
Hmm. They jumped up in the poll four
ten.
Spots.
Yeah, it went to 10.
Yeah.
It went to 10. So I don't know what that means about us, you know, after 1 week, but somebody must think we did okay if they're going to give them that much weight and jump them that far in a poll, especially in a win at home, which effectively a home game for them. LSU over Clemson, which I think is a huge win for LSU. They had to go to Death Valley to do that, which is an easy place to play.
And looked really
LSU.
Good. The defense looked really good.
Auburn over Baylor. I don't know that Baylor's all that good, but that's a different issue. And then Tennessee over Syracuse. I think that says more about Syracuse than it does Tennessee, as to where the perception is for them. And then the Big Ten went 16-2. And obviously what their big win was Ohio State beating Texas. But what I found fascinating was their next one, which was Nebraska beating Cincinnati.
Yeah. What?
Okay. If you say so.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was just sort of interesting, you know, how that played out.
But if you look at the way people are going back to scheduling the way they used to in the 90s.
Yes.
They're dropping their hard non-conference game. Look at what Indiana did. Indiana dropped all of their hard non-conference games.
And then barely got by ODU.
Yeah, they barely got by ODU, yeah. Yeah, and just scheduled supposed cupcakes. Doesn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's no fun either. That you've created the incentive structure that you don't play anybody. You just kind of game the system to try and get in this playoff. And the playoffs become everything.
Well, apparently we're not doing a pretty good job of gaming the system when two of our non-conference games are SEC
teams. Yeah, because
South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Now, we do get Vanderbilt at home. And then the next two games are at home, which is ODU and Wofford. Our next test would be at NC State. So I'm really interested to see, you know, how the UVA State game.
Yeah,
that's this week, right?
That's a non. It's so interesting. It's considered a non-ACC game. They both were looking to fill the schedule.
Okay.
And so they're playing each other because they're not due to play each other for a few years.
Is that in Raleigh?
It's in Raleigh. Yeah, noon on Saturday.
And then, you know, we get Wake at home. Next toughest game, I think, we've got to go down to Georgia Tech. And I think Georgia Tech's program has really come a long way.
Boy, it has. Yeah, last year they were good.
They're very well coached.
Yeah.
We get Cal at home, and then we've got just three lovely opportunities with Louisville, Florida State, and Miami. And then we come to Charlottesville. So, to me, I think the next three games are pretty critical for us. We need to win the next three games. It's just that simple if we're going to have something better than a 500 record.
Well, I don't have West Virginia's schedule in front of me because I don't need it. It's basically a one-game schedule. It's Pitt. If we beat Pitt, that's all that matters. So we'll know in week three what our season looks like.
Will your feelings toward Rich Rod change?
If he beats Pitt? Possibly.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Okay, so there's a lot on the line for him.
Pitt is so evil that if he is able to slay the dragon, then perhaps he can get back in my good graces.
You know, I sort of see that as akin to if the coach down at Florida State were to leave, or, you know, they fall off a cliff and they fire him and they hire back Jimbo Fisher. That would be fascinating. So
yeah,
it's a similar analogy. And
only Jimbo didn't try and burn the university down when he left the first time. That's the difference.
Well, I wouldn't I wouldn't say that.
That's true.
He didn't exactly.
Yeah. He didn't go out gracefully either, did he?
Well, I don't think he's a gracious person, but and I You sure you want to talk about burning down the university in West Virginia with how many couches you guys set on fire? I mean, all you got to do is set them on fire inside of an academic building. And
It's been a long time since we burned couches, Curry. We haven't had much of a reason to lately. There's a surplus of couches in Morgantown.
See, they're all in storage just waiting.
They are.
Waiting for the big day. It'll be a big bonfire if they beat Pitt.
If they beat Pitt.
The whole city might go up if we beat Pitt.
We will watch for that. But no, you're right. You're right as far as it's scheduling. It's the regional kind of.
Yeah. I mean, Scott, it's a very good point. Look what we still get excited over.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
In last year, West Virginia played Penn State. That was a huge game.
Yeah.
I know. Well, they didn't. Yeah. I know. But it's a new year.
I am wearing my 1992 Penn State West Virginia game that I bought in the parking lot before that game.
It's held up well.
It has held up well. That was the last time. Again, this is just sad. Like, we played them in 1992 and then took like a 33-year break before we played them again.
Yeah.
And that was
that's
huge.
That's when they went into the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was the last year before they went in the Big Ten. And that was just a huge regional rivalry. And after we play Pitt this year, we don't know when we're going to play them again.
And that was also one of the biggest mistakes the Big East made. Because it was Pittsburgh that blocked Penn State from being offered into the Big East.
That's right. That's right. They did.
And then they went to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So we talk about the schedule, about, you know, in 5 years, maybe 20 teams. Bowl games, I mean, it's always Virginia's goal to get to 6 wins, and you know we'll get to a bowl game. Bowl, I mean, even though the playoff overshadows everything, bowl games still mean something. But you do wonder what's going to happen. This past season, there was. So many of the lesser bowls had just so few people. And it's hard to go. It's hard to get excited about going to a bowl game in a cold weather
location. I'm curious whether what the break is on revenue for these bowl games between there's, you know, so much demand for sports during that period. So what's their revenue break between their TV revenue and actual ticket sales? And if you think about it, the sponsor would rather have the TV exposure, I would guess, than worry about how many tickets are sold.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you'd have to get somebody in here and know a lot more about how they do those revenue breaks and, you know, what's the value.
That was going to be my question. Are the sponsors, but you're right, just to be on TV at that time.
Yeah, it may be one of the cheaper ways for them to get that much exposure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's so many unknowns, and whether the bowl system survives or what it looks like with the playoff is one of those big unknowns. But I had never gone to a bowl game until a couple of years ago, and you had always told me how much fun they
are with that. Yeah,
which I always thought was interesting, Curry. Like, how would a UVA fan know how much fun a bowl game is? But Ted apparently has a good memory. Well, and he remembered back to, I guess, the George Welsh days, and he was right. They're a lot of fun to go
to.
Even with a grumpy coach, it was a lot of fun to go to.
To me, the Belk Bowl was terrific. I mean, I've been to the Gator Bowl. That was nice, but no.
I'd actually like to go back to the Gator Bowl because one of the two times I went down to the Gator Bowl, we played Tennessee, but they were renovating the stadium in Jacksonville, so we had to play the bowl game in Gainesville.
Oh.
And
The Gator Bowl
in the swamp.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Tennessee was the home team in the swamp. Okay, that tells you a lot. And it was the older brother, the older Manning. Quarterback.
Peyton.
Yeah. It was Peyton Manning's redshirt freshman year at Tennessee, and he ate our lunch.
Yeah,
he just flat ate our lunch. And it's interesting that again, some of the quarterbacks we've had trouble with went on to have really good NFL careers. Oliver Luck, just clobbered us when he played for Cal, and we played them. And I think that was the Sun Bowl, if my memory serves me right.
But yeah, you go to a bowl game and you're there and you're your garb with you see other people who you don't know, but that brings you together. I mean, it is kind of like that. When you go to college football, unless you're a UVA person and you're down in Blacksburg,
I didn't know anybody from UVA ever came to Blacksburg.
I was going to say there's not many. There's not many that are ever there. But there is that.
Is there something about just going west of the Blue Ridge that's a problem for UVA fans?
It's 81. Get on 81.
But that's okay. You can take 29 and 460 and get there. Yeah, you can avoid 81. That's actually how I go.
I get it, because once you drive to Blacksburg, Ted, the problem is you're then in Blacksburg.
Right.
Yeah, so I get it.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand the reluctance.
Said the guy from Morgantown.
I almost went to a game with a guy in Morgantown. It never happened, but we had talked about it.
Well, we should go. Can the station pay for the three of us to do like a game day?
Oh, yeah.
How about we do three of them?
Yes.
We don't go to any game where we're playing each other.
Yeah.
It has to be where, UVA is playing somebody else other than Tech. West Virginia is not playing either of us. That sort of thing. But that actually would
yes.
be kind of fun.
Yes, we could do a remote game day.
It would be award-winning. It would be something.
It would be something.
Yeah, I feel like this show is something.
Do you ever get any feedback on this show?
Several people have said you guys seem to have had a good time, and we do.
it's not about the contest. You guys seem to enjoy each other's company.
Right. Yeah. I learned something. You all seem, and I say that's it.
Makes sense.
And that's what this show
makes
is.
Sense.
I'd have to tell you one. I'm going to leave the names out, but very prominent Tech alum. Donor here in town sold his house, and he called Hildreth to move it. Big house downtown.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Big house downtown. So what does Charles McDaniel do?
He brings
the trailer that moves UVA athletics around and parks it in front of the guy's house
for
3 days moving it.
That's outstanding.
That is great.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, there are Fredericksburg... To go to a UVA game, there are all kinds of Fredericksburg, because Hildreth provides so much money to UVA athletics.
Yeah, big sponsor.
So I feel like I'm back home when I'm down there. Quick break. We're going to wrap this up when we come back. Curry and Scott here this morning will conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We talk college athletics this morning. Curry Roberts, Scott Mayowski, and Scott in his day job, the Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford. Fredericksburg Regional Alliance is where you'll find Curry, but we don't talk about any of that stuff this morning. It's just college athletics. So, Curry, does Tech make a bowl game this year? I think they do, looking at what they did the other day.
Ask me after Saturday.
Yeah.
I think the Vanderbilt game is kind of critical. Does Tech still squeeze out a winning season or a 500 season? Yeah. Is anybody going to be particularly happy with that? No. I'm not as negative about our coaching staff as some other fans. I think Brent Pry has finally gotten the assistance he probably should have gotten when he first came here, but we weren't willing to pay up for those assistants, but I do think he has them now.
So you don't think he's on a hot seat just yet?
I think it's warm.
Okay.
I think it's warm, but I don't think it's hot. Could it get hot? Yeah, it can get hot pretty quick. But you've always got, it doesn't matter. The guy, we could be contending for a national title and you still have 10% of the fans complaining about something.
Yeah.
It's just how they are.
See, Virginia's got, they spent a ton of money and have all these new players, and they finally have a quarterback. And
did he get hurt?
Yeah, he did, but I think it was his non-throwing shoulder, and I think he's going to be okay for Saturday. I think, and that would change things. But I think Virginia could have a good season, but again, it's the same kind of thing after Saturday.
I'm almost where Scott is, though. It's only one game really counts.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and that was.
But are you guys going to cut off ticket sales again, so we can't buy any tickets to come to the game?
I think
like you did 2 years ago.
Last year they had because of Virginia Tech. The Virginia Tech students, the last time they when everybody left from Virginia, they took over the hill at UVA, stormed the field, and so then last year you had to have a ticket and prove that you were a UVA fan to get onto the hill.
So that's why there were only 15,000 people at the game?
Yeah, okay. I think so, yeah. But they've changed that this year, but they have said this year that the hill is open to anyone until the Virginia Tech game, and then it will be policed again.
That's smart. We know how they are. We've seen them do that in Mountaineer Field. So very similar things.
So the never-ready Mountaineer.
We can relate. We can relate, Ted.
Yeah, no, by the fourth quarter, the last time they played, and every UVA fan, me included, had left. And so they took the stadium over.
Yeah. If they found a way to block Virginia Tech people from coming to the game, I might go to Charlottesville and just hang around. Because if I know there's no Virginia Tech people there, it'd be a nice, pleasant afternoon.
That's because there won't be anybody there. I mean, you'll have the town to yourself.
Well, when Ted and I went to a game at Charlottesville last year, parking was great.
So was traffic, right?
I wasn't even sure it was an actual game day as we were driving through Charlottesville.
Well, that was the text you sent me. You sent me this text with a picture. Is there a game?
He did. But we're coming into Charlottesville, and he says, are you sure this is – can you show me this? He's Googling the schedule.
He was just kidding, right?
There was no – yeah, because you go into a Tech game, and I'm sure it's the same way in Morgantown, where people have flags on their cars, magnets on their cars.
You're parking 2 miles away and walking.
There was nothing.
It was very pleasant.
I don't know if I told you the story. When I lived in Charlottesville, I had a neighbor two doors down who was a quarterback back in the 60s, Gene Arnett for UVA. Great guy. Was president of Tiger Fuel. Well, he used to do – the pregame show and then the sideline announcing on their system, their network. And so his wife went to Tech. When he called me one day, he said, look, I've got to do this early show. Can you drive my wagon here to my spot? I said, sure. So half of it's got Tech stuff on it and the other half has got UVA stuff. I go pull into his spot. His wife's phone goes off. It's Gene's daughter going, who the hell stole Dad's car?
There you go.
Yeah.
So for West Virginia, I guess, whether you're happy with Rich Rod or not depends on the Pitt game.
Yeah, it pretty much depends on the Pitt game. And you can't judge anything when you play a team like Robert Morris, except the way we won that game, we know we're not awful. Can't say we're good yet, but we know we're not awful.
Okay.
And there were some interesting things that happened in that game. Our quarterbacks were finding lanes and just running wild. We had three different quarterbacks that were able to do that. That makes me wonder if schematically he hasn't figured something out again. Like maybe lightning can strike with him twice. Because he was really the father of that.
Yeah. The no huddle, kind of fast offense.
So it's intriguing to see how it plays out from here. But yeah, the Pitt game, that's the big one for us.
What game's on tonight?
College or pro? Yeah,
college.
I don't know.
I don't know the college game. I know, and now pro football starts tonight.
Yeah, Cowboys Eagles play tonight, I think.
Yeah, they do. Well, we'll get together at the end of the season, or towards the by that time, Virginia and Virginia Tech will have played, and West Virginia, we'll see.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thanks,
yeah,
it's always fun
as always.
We will talk at the end of the football season and also talk college basketball. Curry Roberts, Scott Majowski here this morning. Thank you for hanging with us and listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.